Welcome to Life Church Hurley's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll enjoy.
All right, good morning again. Well, gave a little extra time this morning for some fellowship, but this morning we have our missionaries from Kenya in the house with us. They're going to be speaking in just a moment. They've been with us before. Last time they were here, they were hilarious. Hopefully, they're just as funny this time. All right, so that's the expectations. But they were so good. This week, our church will grow by one, at least. Amen. Amen. That's right. Because Brad and Caitlin are having their baby. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Hey, there's Caitlin. Brad bailed. This week, church will stay the same. We're picking up one baby, but we're losing Brad. All right, so he's out of here. I'm done with this. So I was going to pray over y'all, but I guess we're just going to pray over you because Brad is nowhere to be found. So come on, Caitlin, we're going to pray over you. And so maybe tomorrow and maybe Tuesday, she'll be having this baby. That's their first. His name is going to be Oliver James. I really tried to convince them that Stephen was a great name. They did not go for it. I'm still trying. Everybody who has a baby, I think that's a great name. Better than Bartholomew? Wow. Look, we're not getting into family disagreements on stage, all right? So, church, come on. Y'all reach your hands this way. Let's pray for him. God, we love you so much, and we just want to bless you this morning. Lord, we thank you. I know that at some point we're going to have a baby dedication, but God, we go ahead and dedicate him this morning. Lord, we thank you for this couple's first baby. Lord, that you brought them into this house. Lord, we have been so blessed by having them here, Lord. The presence they bring, the peace they bring, Lord, the stability they bring for the teenagers and the families in this house, Lord. We have been overwhelmed by their graciousness, Lord, by just their knowledge and their work that they've put in over this past year. Lord, we are thankful for this family. Lord, we pray for this baby, Lord, that as he arrives in the next 24, 48 hours, he's a beautiful baby boy. I know he's Brad's, but let him be beautiful, Lord. And Lord, I pray that they just have such a deep love and attachment like all parents do, Lord, the moment they see him. And I pray that he is a joy from the time that he opens his mouth, Lord, the first cry that they hear. I pray that he is a joy for the rest of his life. Lord, we pray that he is a boy after your heart, Lord, that he loves you. Lord, we pray that he is a boy that for some reason he is just drawn to the word of God, that as even as a little boy, he comes out of children's church, and he's not talking about the games and all that they play. He enjoys that, but God, I pray that I just see it. He's a boy that he loves the word of God, and he shares about what he learned about his father that day. Lord, I pray that his calling, Lord, what you've designed him for, what you've called him out, Lord, even from his mother's womb, Lord, is great and mighty. And Lord, I pray that it is crystal clear, even from a young age. God, I pray that we as a church family reaffirm all these things, Lord, that them as the parents and even the family they surround themselves with will just see this child as someone great in the kingdom of God that understands that God has called him out, has spoken to him, and that God loves him and that he loves God. We love you, Jesus, and we cannot wait to meet little Oliver James. And Lord, we are going to be blessed by his presence. We know it. Lord, again, thank you for this amazing, amazing family. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church family said this morning, amen. 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 We love y'all. Thank y'all. Now, it is my privilege to welcome Anthony and Cindy Holland this morning. All the way from Mobile. So y'all come on up this morning. You can stand wherever you want. You can stand in the back if you want. Stand on the roof. It don't matter to us.
Amen. I'm going to go and let Cindy do the greetings first, and then I'm going to bring something about.
He'll bring a message. He'll bring the message. Okay. Amen. Well, I want to say good morning. I've already talked with several of you already, so I also want to add Happy New Year. I hope it's a good one and a good start for all of you, okay? I am really happy to be here again. I walked in, I didn't know the place. The last time we were here, it was very different, so I'm happy for that. And I'm going to say right now, I'm going to make a prophecy that that place is filled. Yes. It's filled with baptisms, amen? Oh, yes. And that means that you have a work to do. Yes. It's not a new calling, but it's one that you need to be told more frequently, I believe, especially in these days, okay? Because we are all part of the kingdom of God. Here I'm saying, and we each have a role in that kingdom, okay? And Anthony's going to talk a little more about that later. But for me, I want to bring forth just some personal stuff for me. And I was looking at the song that you were singing, and I had not really read the words before. And there was one of them, and I didn't even get the title, but it said, there's a lion inside your lungs, okay? Yes. And that really jumped into my spirit, okay? Well, you know, for one thing, I have been a witness of real lions, okay? When we were in Africa, in Kenya, I have had the experience of them being right next to us, okay? I've even had the experience of playing with baby lions, with the cubs, and they're strong. Those little babies, they are strong. And I can remember one of them, Anthony was playing, and one of the claws attached his jeans, you know, and jeans are thick. It tore it right open. They're strong little things, okay? But it was talking about lungs, okay? And I have heard a lion, a male lion, roar. I've heard him use his lungs. And it's a sound that you will never forget. It's a sound that travels a very far distance. And it's a sound that makes you stand still. You stand still and you start looking around you to see where that sound came from, okay? It's a strong sound. And I'm thinking about we have that in us, okay? And we are supposed to be as bold as lions. And those critters are bold, I'm telling you. They don't run from anything, okay? They stand still and they stay their ground, okay? Yes. So it was a positive song for us. I don't know if you chose that one for us, but God did. But anyway, it really kind of stirred in me that feeling of the lungs and to be as, you know, you don't have to be loud to do everything, but there's a strength in you that needs to be able to come out, okay? Yes. When you're talking, when you're witnessing, and when you're standing your ground of who you are as Christ's child, okay? Yes. And that's more, I think, what he's talking about right now, that you don't need, especially in these times, you don't need to be afraid.
That's right.
Of anything. You need to stand as strong and speak it, okay? And speak that language. Speak that language of the word and of what God has planted in you himself, okay? But that's not what I wanted to talk about. It just came up because of the song, okay? It was just something that passed on. But what I wanted to share was, I don't know how many of you have had dates or special dates in your calendar that you can pinpoint, okay, that you can remember outside of your birthday, outside of your anniversary day and things like that. I mean a date that is really specific for you, okay? Are any of you have any dates in mind like that? And if you have any experiences like that? Well, I hope you have as I begin talking, okay? I've had, and it's really interesting, today is one of those dates, January 9th. And I have had January 7th, 8th, and 9th be a significant date, a history-making date in my life, three times. And most people don't have that kind of a situation. Now, I'm not going to share all of them with you, but I do want to start out with one, and maybe two if I get to it. The first one is on January 7th, 23 years ago, we were in an airplane headed for our first mission field. Full-time missionaries, okay? So we started out on the 7th, and we landed on the soil that we were going to serve in on January 9th. It was a long journey getting there. It was a long, tiring journey, but we were so filled with adrenaline. You know, you didn't even know that it was happening. It was 3 days of going on. And I can remember when we got there, we were just, because of all the preparations that happened the years before to get us to that place, okay? So I can really remember that date. Now, we landed on the soil that we were going to serve on, but our luggage kept going. And we left. So I learned how to pack. That was my first lesson as a missionary. I learned how to pack. I learned that you always carry overnight clothes and toothbrushes and all that stuff with you because you never know what's going to happen with the real luggage, okay? And we found out that our luggage went on to Australia. It went back to Hong Kong, and then they flew it back for us to Indonesia. And I had 5 bags at the time. I didn't know if any of them were going to make it. That's a lot of stuff in there because we were going to be in Indonesia, third world, real third world, primitive third world. So we had to carry a lot of our stuff with us. So it was an interesting experience to get started out as a missionary, having your bags go all over the world. There's more to that story, but I want to just share the second date that was really important for me. I was serving in a church. I was in the Methodist system at the time. And I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anybody by saying system, but it is. And I was working in the office. I was helping the pastor. I was also writing a newsletter that was a monthly newsletter. And my personality is I plan out, okay? And this is one of the things that I was just talking with Amanda about. I have to stop learning to plan right now. Really put dates in action right now. And that's not me, because I'm a planner, okay? I'm an organizer. I look ahead, and I'm looking to see what I need to get ready for and prepared for down in the future. And this is what I was doing as the newsletter writer. I was looking at what kind of editorials, I guess you could say, that I was going to write. And I did some research about Jesus. And I was preparing for the April newsletter, which was the month of Easter that year. And so I did some really heavy research about the death of Jesus, okay, because in Easter we're celebrating his resurrection. And in this research, it was from American Medical Association. It was a doctor's written explanation of the things that Jesus experienced physically when he died and when he on his way to his death. And he was telling about what happened in the bloodstream, what happened in the nervous system, what happened in all parts of his body that caused him when he was on the cross and he was stabbed with the spear that only water came out, okay? So he had lost all of his blood, every single drop of it. He gave it for us. And there's some other things that I was experiencing with this study that really got me really, really, I was shaken up. I mean, I had never really put to detail what Jesus did for me. And that was the thing, see, I quit looking at it as for humanity. I turned it into a me experience. I started looking at, wow, he did that for me. And it changed my mindset about, I was in church. Like I said, I was serving with the pastor. I was teaching a class, everything. But I had never really had that personal change of mind about Jesus that he is looking for. He's looking for that from all of us, by the way. He's looking for the time when you can say, you changed. He's looking for the time when you know, with all of your heart that you have met Jesus. He's looking for that time and that date, by the way. And that's one of those dates that I was asking you about, whether you knew or not. You see, because from that date, you should not ever be the same. Ever. Ever. You cannot be the same if Jesus Christ is in at your heart. You cannot be the same if your spirit has, your dead spirit has come alive. You cannot be the same. And so with that date in mind, you should be able to know when that happened to you. Okay, so today is my day of resurrection from history. And I know it, and I want to proclaim it to you, and I want to tell you that you need to have that same experience. If you have not come to the point where you can say, this is the day, and go back in your calendar and say, this is the day I can celebrate my anniversary of becoming a born-again spirit, then you need to find out what that date was, because you might not have it. You might think you have it. Just because you come here doesn't mean you have it. Okay? Just because you read the Bible doesn't mean you have it. Just because you sing in a choir doesn't mean you have it. You know, you will know in your heart, and you will know in your mind if you have that date when you have been transformed. Amen? Amen. So that's basically what I wanted to share with you right now. You know, right now, a lot of us don't know our future on earth. Okay, we don't know what's going to happen next week. Okay, because things are in a change. And like I've been saying, we've been in a funnel now. We've been like a funnel, our existence, okay? For many years, you know, you pour a liquid in a funnel, and that big top, it spins around, and it's going down towards that thing, whatever they call the spout. What's it called?
Cortex,
okay. And our life has been spinning around in this funnel, and it's entered into this cortex. Well, you know what happens. All of you have used a funnel, I imagine, in your life at one point. When it hits that cortex, all of what has been this big is now going like this. Yes. It's going like this. It's going so fast that you can't keep up with it. Don't you feel it? It's happening right now. We're in that time right now. It's going like this. Things are happening so fast. We don't know what's going to be next, okay? And it's getting ready to spit out. It's getting ready to spit out, okay? I don't think it's tomorrow, but I know it's soon. I know it is soon. And that's what I'm talking to you about today. Because I know in my spirit, and I think some of you know in your spirit that it is soon. Better be ready. You better be watching. You better be ready. You personally need to know that date that you met Jesus Christ and you committed your life to him. And it's not a game. It's not a matter of trying to make other people think you are a Christian. Okay? Because you need to be one. So that's what I'm going to encourage you today, okay, from those dates. Now, I don't know if you've had, like I said, as many times of the same date. And I don't know if that's a significance for me or not. But I want you to know your date. Your date with Jesus, okay? And always celebrate it. Amen? And I want to bring Anthony up right now, so that he can share some things that we have been on a study of Hebrews. And it is a powerful book, very powerful. And we haven't got very far very fast because Holy Spirit has just been really pouring out revelation to us, okay? And he's going to talk about one thing that we have come into more and more refinement on. We've started the study several years ago, but right now he has given us a detailed information. And I want Anthony to come and help you. Maybe share something you don't know. I don't know if you, you know, I don't want to step on toes and tell you that, you know, we know more than you. But what I'm saying is that we have had some new revelation that maybe would penetrate to you, okay? So here's Anthony.
Praise God. Well, I got to follow that, right? Praise God. Well, I think what you can hear is the passion. And every time I hear that, when you have that passion, and I believe that that is something that's being stirred up right now. We have the privilege and the honor. And for those of you who don't know, Cindy and I have a ministry that we have been blessed with in East Africa. Our base has been in Kenya. Some of you have been there, Amanda and Bruce and Allison, I know you've been there. Is anybody else? I'm not sure, but I know all of you have visited. You know the team. So when I talk about Isaac and I talk about Frederick and some of those guys, you know who I'm talking about. And for years we've came, and even here we've come and we've talked to you very specifically about the team. And everything has been about them. I think we've gotten that message across. It hasn't been about Anthony and Cindy, because we always knew there would be a point where there would be a major transition and that we would continue. And so I don't want you to get things wrong. Cindy and I are not retiring. We are a little bit tired right now of all the things that are going on. And we can probably say we are retired. We're tired and we're tired again, you know, if we wanted to look at that. But we have gotten the blessing and the opportunity to work with this team, to train this team. And one of our biggest things right now is, and we've told them, and I'll tell you a little bit more about this. I don't want to jump too far ahead. But right now, Cindy and I are in a holding pattern. We were planning to go to Kenya next week. And as usual, sometime in late January or February, for the past 7, 8, 9 years, we've always gone back to Kenya. Before, we were spending 2 and 3 years there at a time. So this is the first year. And we had plans as of December. We had plans for Kenya. Things have changed concerning the vaccine mandates. Cindy has some issues health-wise that we are concerned about the vaccine. Me, I'm just aggravated with what the whole thing is going on, but I'm not going to get up here and talk about that, okay? So I'll spare you with that. We all have our own thoughts and opinions about that. But the biggest thing is right now, we want to make sure that that team, the passion you just heard, she has put that passion. She has spent 22 years putting that passion into a group who are already passionate. You guys went out and shared the gospel on the streets with them. You know their passion, Amanda. You know their passion, Bruce and Allison. You know these guys. And just to give you an example, last year, and I'm not even going to give you the details of the numbers, but every year they give us their end of the year. Last year, individually, we've got 7 core team members. That is our leadership team. All leadership has been transferred to them. Last year, they averaged between them, or somewhere between 1,400 and 1,500 in personal encounters, one-on-one, with the gospel. That was each person, okay? Each person had somewhere between 600 and 800. That's just the average if I look through the numbers. Somewhere between 600 and 800 confessions of faith. People who have now heard the full gospel. And they spend these days, even you guys saw, they don't spend 5 minutes with them. They spend an hour or more sharing the gospel, and then they follow up with these guys. And they continue bringing them in. So this is the kind of impact that this team is having. But it doesn't stop there. The team is, and I'm explaining this, and then I'll back up and show you what the scripture says about this. They don't go out by themselves. They go out and they take someone else, the next generation, that's going to be teaching. They're constantly, and actually we push them. Don't go by yourself. You know, take your disciples out. So they're taking their disciples out. And those are the future trainers that also have disciples. So everybody they're taking out, they already, the ones they're taking out, they're already teaching classes and raising up another generation. So we're talking 3 and 4 generations. And I'm going to transfer to another word in just a minute. But we're talking about 3 and 4 generations going out. And the practice is wonderful because people are getting delivered, born again, set free. We've got suicides that have been stopped. We've got over and over people will take out of their pocket. How many of you know we had some bad things happen the past 2 years? Okay? In Kenya, it was worse. I feel Holy Spirit all over this. In Kenya, people were out of work. They were out of school. They were desperate. It's estimated that up to half, especially in the rural areas, up to half of the teenage girls are pregnant now. Okay? I'm just hitting you with some things that are tough. Okay? They're either pregnant or they've just had children. Because when you get teenagers and relatives around, you got all kinds of things that happen.
And they're not all teenagers.
Right. Okay? And I don't even want to get to that. But basically, you've got people meeting, hurting people. And we've got testimony after testimony after testimony of people who are being delivered. We've had several murders confessed. Okay? And we don't just leave it like that. Well, it's okay, you murdered somebody. No, there's consequences. We had a family, a whole family restored where a sister had murdered another sister. And she ultimately repented, went back, confessed to the family, and God restored the entire family. Because this thing was so devastating. They didn't know that the sister was the one who did it. I mean, it was incredible, the kinds of things. They go into homes where a husband is about to probably abuse or maybe even kill his wife. And they're seeing things. And we get some funny ones every now and then because the husband will be confessing about his sins of adultery and all of that. And then the wife comes in. She said, well, now I got to confess too. And so you see these situations where families are being restored and put back together, relationships. Because one of the things we push is now you don't just sit quietly. You know, you have to tell somebody about what God has just did in your life. So I don't want to go too far with that. But basically, this is the impact, these guys. So not only are they reaching the lost, not only are they seeing people delivered, set free, but they're training others in the process. Our leaders don't go out by themselves. So one of my pleas too, and one of the reasons we're here with you guys, is we want you guys to be connected with that. We want you guys to help us keep the, because whether Cindy and I ever go back to Kenya or not, these people are passionate. These people are sharing the gospel. They have plans. They, as of tomorrow, one of them's traveling all the way to the coast to work with a school where these guys are now being invited to teach in a Muslim training school we've been partnered with for about 9 years now. They're training people in Tanzania. They're training people in different places. So they are passionate about training and raising up evangelists and teachers. Okay? One of them has kind of coined the phrase that not only are we reaching the unreached, which that's been a, you know, kind of a buzzword, but Zadok, I think y'all met Zadok. Zadok, he speaks about reaching the unteached. That's a whole nother area. When we start talking about the religious groups, and I don't even have to name names, but we got massive religious groups because Cindy often tells us that most of the early evangelism happened around the turn of the century, the 19th century. Well, how many of you know most of those guys were not spirit-filled? You know, they were religious groups. They were passionate. They went over. They gave their lives for the gospel, but it wasn't all of the gospel. So now we've got vast groups. In Tanzania, we have the Lutherans. In Kenya, we have a lot of Anglicans and others. And these groups are passionate about Jesus and their religion, but they don't know the power that we know of the baptism of Holy Spirit and what will empower us to reach the next generations. So what I wanted to do is, first off, let you know about them. That's why we're here. We want to make sure that we can stay connected. If God just needs to use us to maintain that pipeline, we asked God in the very beginning that we would be a conduit for the resources. Okay? We have resources over here. We have lots of resources. This is still the most blessed nation in the world. I don't care what the news has told you or whatever. This is a blessed nation. We go through things like COVID and somehow come out with some kind of crazy prosperity. This nation right now, we got the lowest job unemployment rates in history. I mean, how many of you have been to a restaurant lately? I mean, they come out with a menu with a job application. I took a picture in Helen, Georgia, where it said, if you have some complaints, here, fill out a job application. If the food is too slow or whatever, that's basically what it said. If the food is going too slow, we're hiring. You come back and help. But that's the kind of nation we have. And so if we can maintain and continue to connect with these people, and we're not the only ministry that has spent time getting prepared for this. We knew at some time, we never expected the door to close to Kenya like that. But like in Ethiopia right now, I don't know if you know anything about Ethiopia. They're in civil war right now. It's terrible. We couldn't go there if we wanted to. Okay, South Sudan, we had a window of opportunity. So when we get these opportunities to train people, and Kenya is like a melting pot. All the refugees come to Kenya. So over the years, these people coming from these war-torn places, they're coming into Kenya, and our guys are constantly getting opportunities to minister and train these guys from these other nations who can go back. Cindy talks a lot about reaching the unreached. I'm going to get to the message in a minute. But Cindy talks about reaching the unreached. We're going to places now, and the only way to get to those guys and really do something is you've got to train one of their people to go deeper, okay? We've got a Maasai team. I'm maybe even bragging a little bit right now, but I'm boasting about God, okay, what God has done. We've got a Maasai team that right now they're ready to go. We just did a goat project so we could help those guys do what they are. They already raise goats. They know how to do that. So we kind of boost them. We give them extra resources so they can go deeper. They know the language. They know the people. They know the culture. They can stay in those interior places. And our teachers and our key leaders, they can do the same. They love that. They live for going deep into the bush. They can live in ways that Cindy and I are getting kind of old for that. Okay, I'll just be honest. I used to be pretty rough and rugged, and I could still probably go and do a lot of things. But last year I was in Kenya, and they took me into a place that was a little bit rugged, and I could tell I was rusty. I wasn't prepared. I was wanting to complain. I was almost like an American again. And I got into that place, and and I was like, wow, I sure am glad we've trained these guys to do this work, and that I don't have to go in and do these things. And that's the blessing right now. Cindy and I can now be the mentors. We can do most of what we do from right here. Okay? God has blessed Cindy. Some of you know she's gone through some issues with her eye, and she had some surgery, cataract surgery. She's got her vision back. She's able to do some things. So we can do a lot from here. Okay? So if I sound excited, I am. And I'm excited about hoping that we can continue to connect so many of you to these people. These are the missionaries. These are the missionaries. Well, we've always said the indigenous people are the missionaries of the future. So now let's take us to the word and I want to just share with you. And this is not really, Cindy, it's not revelation. It's confirmation of what God put in our spirit a long time ago. And if you guys have not read the Passion Translation on your phone, you'll find it as TPT. If you haven't experienced that, I highly encourage you. So we're doing some new studies. We've gone through several books recently in the Bible with the TPT. And when right now we tackled Hebrews, we saw we had a little bit of time, and we said, well, let's tackle Hebrews, and we knew it wasn't going to be easy. So I want to read a little bit. Let me get some resources out here. And the first thing is I want to just take us to Hebrews. And I'm not going to go deep into Hebrews at all. But I just want to share something that we probably already know. And I just want to emphasize it. And I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures. But in chapter 5 of Hebrews, we're introduced to this idea. And if you know and read Hebrews, in chapter 5, we start talking about a priest. And we begin to talk about Jesus as a high priest. Everybody know where I'm at? And the argument here, the person who wrote Hebrews, his argument was to make sure that the Jews understood that the old order of the Levitical priesthood, which was the Old Testament and the law, and this is just basics, I just want to lay a little boring foundation and then we'll move on. But he was wanting, or the writer of Hebrews was making sure that the people understood that the old order of priest was finished. Are we together? Okay. I don't think I have an argument with anybody in here. We understand the old priesthood order, which was the Levites, okay, and they were also chosen by God through Aaron originally. And these guys were the old bearers of the law, the old covenant. They were the priests. How many of you know what a priest is? What would be your simple definition? Okay, I'm a teacher, so you guys, I know you can speak back. What is a priest? Anybody? Huh? Okay, yeah, he talks to God. What else? Yeah, he represents the people to God, and he also represents God to the people. So he stands in for God, okay? Are we good with that? All right, we need that as we move on. Okay, so the old order was the Levites upholding the law. So that was God's revelation to them. All right. So now we get a new order. And the new order is what? Jesus. Okay. And Jesus, though, the Hebrews tells us something that we don't see hardly anywhere else. Jesus is now introduced, but he comes in another order, another line. He comes from a guy by the name of Melchizedek that we know hardly anything about. Melchizedek, he didn't have a past. We don't know where he came from. And so Jesus follows in that order. And when I talked about the Passion, this is where Cindy and I began to see something different. In the Passion, it uses a word that kind of shook us a little bit. And it says that Jesus was a king priest. Okay? It kind of abandons that high priest language that we thought we understood. And it says he was a king priest. He was a priest who was a king. He was a king who was a priest. Okay, and that's the language we start seeing. And he comes from the order of Melchizedek, which means there was no beginning. He was there in the beginning. How many of you know Jesus was the Word? He was there. When everything began, he was there from the beginning. Yes. Okay? So we understand. And we also know that Jesus is God. Okay? All right? Don't get alarmed by that. He's not just the Son of God. He is God.
Yes.
Okay? We introduced that to our youth years ago when we were youth pastors. And they were like, no, they were arguing. He's the Son of God. Well, you get with a Muslim, and a Muslim's going to have a problem with that too. It's a problem all over the place. It's a bigger problem than you think because we've accepted it as Christians and born-again believers. But if you go to a Muslim and talk about Jesus being God, you got a problem. You got a major division. Don't start there. You shut the door immediately. But I'm not here to teach you about Muslim, sharing with Muslim. But don't start there. Don't start with Jesus being God. You'll close the door. You'll never get any farther. You got to work your way to that. So we've got Jesus who now comes in a new order. Okay, and I'm not going to go deeper than that because this is not Bible school. All right? It's a Sunday morning. We're going to have a good time. Okay, now I want to read an awesome scripture. I'm not going to go any farther in Hebrews, but this was incredible. Let's go to 1 Peter. If you have the Passion Translation, open it up there. If not, follow along in another translation. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and this just jumps off the page at me. And then I'm going to bring it back to the team. It says, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings. Now, we're not talking to Jesus anymore. Okay, Peter is talking to the church. By the way, another revelation I had, and it was deep for me, it may not be deep for you. The New Testament was not written to the world. It was not written for heathens. Okay? When heathens get a hold of the New Testament and start quoting it, they make a mess out of it. They turn love into something it's not. They turn Jesus into somebody he was not. They mess the New Testament all up because they're not born again. And that word was not written for them. Okay? No, don't get all mad at me. Oh, the gospel. Yeah, the gospels tell them who Jesus is. But it was written to the church to show us who we are so that we can go out and be what? I gave you a clue. We started with a priest. Okay, we're going to get there in just a second. All right, this is awesome. But you are God's chosen treasure. Somebody tell your neighbor, you're God's chosen treasure. Man, I can leave here with that and be excited. Priests who are kings. Tell your neighbor, you're a king. Ladies, you're still kings too. All right. Now, yeah, I didn't hear a lot of confidence in that. You know, I heard, yeah, you're a king. This is the word. Y'all want to argue with it? Okay, somebody brought up about the word. Let's stay with the word. Priests who are kings, a spiritual nation, set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. Does that sound good? He did so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. Yes. That's what priests are all about. And this is the same scripture that talks about we are a priesthood. We are priests, but we are king priests. In the order of who? We're in the same order because our king, the one who delivered us, everything Jesus did, he did so that we would carry on. Here's what will start making more sense to you. Jesus told his disciples before he left them, he said in the book of John, he said, the works I have done, this is going to start hitting home. The works I have done, the works the king priest, the order from Melchizedek, the works that I have done, what did he say? You're going to do greater works. We are ordained as king priests to continue in that same order, representing his glorious light. If you look at the prophecies, one of the things that's real exciting, as Cindy shared about the end times, and I believe we're at the end of the end times. Okay, one of the wonderful things that keeps me excited right now is about the fact that the righteous are going to shine. You go back and look in Daniel. We are going to shine. We're going to declare God's glory. The darker it gets, the brighter we will shine. Okay? I've got some flashlights. Those of you who have been with me out into the interior, I'll get out there sometimes, and I've been there for 3 or 4 days with these little flashlights. And, you know, I'll be walking around out there with no lights and stuff, and, man, that light is so bright. And I'll be, and the Maasai's are following me and watching, you know, seeing the light, and we're walking, and this flashlight's incredibly bright. And then I bring the thing back to town,
and go try to find something in my house, and where's the light? I can't even see it. But out there where there was nothing but darkness, the light was incredibly bright. So it doesn't matter that you think your light, you know, you get in a crowd and you say, my light doesn't shine. You go into the darkness.
Right.
Come on now.
Come on,
you go into the darkness, and that little light that you think is so dull around your peers and others, that thing's going to shine. It's going to be incredible. You're going to get up and speak a word that you would be embarrassed to speak in here, but it's revelation. Our guys, and we have evidence of this, our guys go and they teach basic foundational teaching. I think y'all sat in on some of the basic classes, right? I mean, that stuff is baby school 101, okay? Assurance of salvation. We're talking baby school for me and you, probably, I hope. But these guys are sitting there. They're pastors. They've been to Bible school. And they're saying, man, this is revelation. And at first, I'm like, this is not revelation. But yes, it is. It's revelation because they haven't heard it. Okay? You can go in churches with what you have. And I'm telling, let me not just tell you which denominations or flavors or whatever. But you can go in and what you have is revelation. Incredible revelation. You don't have to go to Bible school or anything for that. What you have, the little word that you might think you have, it's revelation. It's huge. Okay, and this is what we're talking about with the priesthood. And that's why we wanted to share it today. This is where we are as a church. We got to be raising up priests, Steve. That's our job, to raise up priests, to let the priests know who they are. I'm talking king priests. That we can go and share this gospel, that passion that Cindy has. If you have that experience, I'll kind of wrap it up with this. If you have that experience that Cindy's talking about, you can't keep that on the inside. You can't keep it. You can't hold it. And so we always question. And we start talking to people, saying, if you're not sharing your faith, should I do this, Steve?
Give one shot.
Okay. If you're not sharing the Jesus that's inside of you, I question whether he's there. Okay? I question. And we've always looked at people, and it's not that, you know, you might not think, I'm not talking about whether you're going to heaven or not. We're talking about being a disciple. There's a whole big difference about believing in Jesus and being his disciple, being his priest, ready to represent him. And so this is what we are praying that you guys connect with. We're praying that you pray with us. We don't believe we're done. We believe there is something more this year. We believe there's something for Cindy and I to do this year. And we want you guys to connect with us, to pray with us. But more important than that, we want you guys to pray and be a part of what God's doing with these teams, with these people in Kenya, with these trainers. We need to keep those guys going. I mean, I can hit you with figures and numbers and everything, but we have 6, 7 that are actually on salary. Those are the ones that we want to make sure. There's no such thing as a part-time job in the second world and third world and developing nations. You either work 10 or 12 hours a day, every day, and try to make things work, or you don't work at all. And our guys, if they are going to go out and spread the gospel and share the gospel, I had an understanding earlier this year, it was last year now, that we would be poor stewards of what God had given us if we didn't keep those guys going with the resources. If we required our guys to actually begin to work and do other work and take away from what they are gifted to do and what they've been trained to do, we would be poor stewards with the resources that God had given us. So we are committed to making sure these guys continue, that they have the opportunity to go. They work 6 and 7 days a week sharing, teaching. Sometimes we have to even tell them, look, you're doing too much. You're going to burn out. We have to actually pull them back a little bit.
So these guys are passionate about what they do. We want you to connect with them. We share primarily on Facebook. I know what some people think about Facebook at this point, but it's like any other thing. It is a vessel. It is a tool. We share with their stories, their real-life testimonies. You want to read some incredible testimonies? I mean, how many of you have been reading some of their testimonies that we share with on Facebook? And you guys talk to some of those guys. They are encountering some incredible things. They got arrested last year sharing the gospel during COVID. And one of the awesome testimonies that just really blessed me is one of the guys, Zadok, got arrested. They handcuffed him because they're looking for bribes. So the police, they're not concerned about the health. Those guys are concerned about what they can get in their pocket. Okay, and they come up, Zadok's sharing on the street during the heavy time of COVID and all the lockdowns and stuff going on. They come up to him, puts the handcuffs on him. Zadok never hesitates. He continues. He told the policeman to wait while he continues sharing. Well, the policeman's going to wait anyway because he doesn't want to take him to jail. He wants to get some money from him. So he's sitting there with Zadok in handcuffs. Zadok continues to share the gospel. And the guy that Zadok's sharing with, he receives the gospel. He repents. He gets born again.
He got handcuffed.
Yeah, he was handcuffed too, Zadok. Yeah, they were handcuffed together. And so the policeman finally, he takes the handcuffs off. He comes under some conviction. Later on, a few days later, the policeman took Zadok's number. And he didn't arrest him or anything. He just kept his number. He calls him up. He says, I need you to come see me. So Zadok goes. Policeman says, what you were sharing first, I want to tell you, man of God, I am so sorry for handcuffing the man of God. He said, I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me. He said, please, I want to hear what you were sharing completely. So Zadok shared the whole message with him. Policeman gets born again. And that'd be awesome, you know, by itself. Because Zadok, those of you, you know Zadok, he's fearless. I mean, the guy goes, he does this stuff all the time. But after that, about a week or so later, the policeman calls him again. He says, I just have to tell you, my life has changed. The testimony is awesome. And I got a promotion at work. And he said, my boss wants to see you. And so Zadok goes and he sees the commandant. They call him a commandant or something like that. But anyway, he's over the policeman. So this guy goes, Zadok goes, and the commander immediately asks Zadok when he goes in there. He said, what did you do to my officer? And he said, what do you mean? He said, this guy, he was the worst of the worst. I said, and now this is the best guy I have. This guy is just, his heart has changed. Everything's changed. What did you do to him? And Zadok shares the gospel with his commander. Guess what happens? Commander got born again. I mean, these are the kind of things that are going on over there, and it's exciting. Miracles are happening, you know, all of the healings. And I get so aggravated with Facebook because, you know, we show a picture of our dog, and we get 150 likes, and everybody's excited. We tell the story about somebody getting healed and the blind eyes opened, and you get 3 likes.
Right.
You know, I'm like, are the people not believe? I don't know if this nation, if we're just so much under this darkness and this oppression that we don't see these things. But I believe that we're going to see some awesome things this year. I believe we're going to see some incredible things. I thank you for the opportunity. I want you guys to get connected with us even more. I thank you for the invitation when we met the other night. That was an awesome idea. Love the coffee. We'll do that again. And Steve, just thank you. We do want you guys to pray for us. And I think that's all I've got.
Amen. Always a blessing. Always a blessing. You know, I just had in my spirit that I think, you know, if you don't know much about Life Church, the history of Life Church, we have missions all over the world. And we don't just have, like, missions. We have churches and Bible colleges and established churches all over the world. You know, you go to a blessed place. Amen. I would love for every church member to go on a mission trip, on a foreign mission trip in the next 2 years. You don't have to go as a group. You don't have to go, you know, something being organized. You just find a missionary and you go. I would love for you to go. And it's great for you to go, like, with another organization. I think that's powerful if you can go do that. But there's something about understanding the scope of who you are and what you're a part of. Life Church is so big. I've been a part of Life Church for 10 and a half years, and I'm still finding layers of things that we put our hand to all over the world. It's pretty crazy. So we would love for you to be a part of that in any way. Obviously, with COVID, we tried to put together a mission trip to Honduras, and there were some things going on in Honduras. We couldn't go, and then they started shutting down the country, and we had to cancel that trip. And every time we tried to go on something, it keeps getting shut down, as your trip is this month also. But I think in America, we kind of hold it and we go, well, you know, I don't want to go. I'm not called to go. I'm just going to give. Well, now COVID gives you an excuse not to go, and then we can kind of back it up and we can give. But, you know, I can guarantee you $10 goes a long ways, but a relationship goes even further.
Yes.
A relationship with the missionary goes further than your money. And to get to know these guys and have coffee with them and drink their coffee that they brought this morning, which was delicious, by the way, and to sit down at a table with them, to hear their heart. You know, I'm going to tell you something that most missionaries won't tell you. When they come home, they don't have many friends.
That's true.
And you guys might. Maybe that's something different for you guys. But what happens is they lose friends over the years because they're gone. And so they lose connection, and they come back and they're all excited, and they think they're going to go sit at somebody's table, but life has changed and people move on and they don't have many friends. And so they find those connections that they made when they first started on the mission field eroding away. Missionaries need people. They need friends. They need relationships. They need that person who will sit across from them and say, hey, I want you to come to my house and eat my food. And I don't have much money to give you, but I just want to hear about the struggles you've been walking through. Am I wrong? Am I wrong about that?
No, you are right on that.
So we have such an incredible opportunity this morning because we have them live and in color this morning to really shake their hand, hug their neck, and follow them on Facebook, but also to get to know them some more. So if we all come back up, and we'll get our elders together. And whoever, if you want to come up, church members, y'all are welcome to come up. Let's get our elders right here to lay hands on you. And then pastor, elders, if y'all want to come up and lay hands, you're more than welcome to also. And we're going to bless them this morning. We're going to do an American blessing. I've been to Africa. I've done the African blessing. And unless y'all are ready to be here till about midnight, then we'll just do the American blessing. Plus, y'all can't dance anyway, so, you know, that leaves us stuck. I pointed over your head. I said, y'all. I was pointing to all the people not in African dress this morning, you know. Let's pray. Come on, church, just raise your hands this way. Jesus, we thank you so much that you have blessed us this morning, Lord. What a renewed understanding and excitement about your gospel, God. It is so true that no matter what country we live in, we can become so used to just knowing Jesus instead of using the Jesus that we know, to getting out there and telling people and loving people. God, you have given us such an opportunity, Lord. You have come in to our lives. You have completely transformed our life, Lord. You have made us new. And you said, I've made you new, and I'm going to send you out, and you're going to see transformations. And God, I know how it is. Even as a pastor, Lord, we go through the motions sometimes, and we're so bored with our faith. We're so bored with the outcome. Lord, we just pray that you give us a glimpse, Lord, of the excitement that is possible in our life. Lord, that we won't just cheer on other people that are having amazing stories about police officers getting saved. Lord, I pray that some of us get semi-arrested up in the house. God, I pray that some of us have a story to tell, that we get excited about our own life, and we don't have to be driven by motivation through others, Lord. We're driven by being excited just to see what you have for us when we wake up in the morning. Lord, we bless his team, Lord, that are on the ground today, right now. Lord, as they are ministering that 10, 12 hours a day, Lord, every single day of their life, Lord, we pray over them this morning, Lord, that they are left with the excitement, but Lord, it's not a hollow excitement. It's not an excitement passed on from one human to the next. God, it is truly the Holy Spirit that is within them. Lord, I know it is. And God, I pray that, as he said, it's generation upon generation upon generation that comes to a realization that life is so much better with the Holy Spirit. Life is so much better when they know the creator of the universe. Lord, that they live it and they are driven by it. God, we pray the same thing here. Lord, that we see teams upon teams upon teams of people that are drawn in not because of some message and not drawn in because we have good worship or nice seats or whatever. Lord, we pray that people are drawn in, but Lord, also drawn out because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that when they walk in, when they see a believer that's in this house and their work or wherever they're at, Lord, they're drawn by the excitement of Christ. Lord, that it's not a dredge of following Jesus. It's not just something that, you know, I heard this cool sermon. No. It's something that I live out. And let me tell you about what Jesus walked me through today. God, we pray for salvations through experience and not just salvations because of what we heard on Sunday morning. Lord, we love you so much. We pray for the Hollands that this is the most blessed season of their life. Lord, as a father sits back and they smile in awe of their children as they go off to college or they become successful or they do what they need to do, Lord, I pray that that's how they are. Lord, they sit back even in America, Lord, and they can see and they smile from ear to ear and they offer all the encouragement and all the support and all the structure that that team needs. But God, that is such a proud season in their life. Lord, I love what you say in Zechariah. Lord, you said that we'll sit on the side of the street. The old will sit down and watch the next generation dance in the streets. I pray that over them, God, that it'll be as they're sitting on the sidewalk in their rocking chair, eating their Cracker Barrel, Lord, having a good time. But Lord, they are so proud of where God has brought their testimony and where they have brought their mission, Lord, all these years. That those times on the mission field where they were sitting and saying, is this worth it? Is this going to work out? And what will be when we're gone? Lord, that they get a glimpse of it every single day, Lord, that you established it, that you put a word in their mouth, Lord, you put a word in their team's mouth, Lord, and what you establish will not go away, Lord. You will not just allow it to fade away, Lord. It will serve your work and it will serve your purpose. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for established relationships.
Yes.
And reestablish relationships, Lord, that we can hold one another up, Lord. We can sharpen one another, Lord. We can make sense of this walk with you, with one another. We love you. We love you, Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 So we are done. I said, amen. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to come shake hands and hug necks. And make a connection with them before you leave this morning. Amen. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you soon.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.